Good evening, everybody. So we're in the middle of learning Hilchos Shabbos, and tonight, if you look on the top of the source sheet, it says that we're going to learn about Isser Chatzi Shir B'Machalas Asura. So it's not that I have forgotten about what we're supposed to be learning. However, this is really a prelude to the more important discussion that pertains to Hilchos Shabbos, and that is, what's the story with a Chatzi Malacha? What's the story if a person does a half a Malacha? Let's say I do Bishul, and the qualification to violate the Isser of Bishul is it has to be cooked up to a certain point. What if I throw something in the oven on Shabbos and it only gets cooked up to a certain point? What if, take for example, and I think this is the example all the time, we have the first malacha that the Gemara talks about is the malacha of Zoraya, which is the malacha of planting something in the ground. Somebody plants something in the ground. Does it take root the minute that you put it in the ground? No. So what if I put something in the ground on Shabbos and I take it out right away? Am I in violation of the malacha of Zoraya? We'll talk about it. So what if I put it in the ground and I leave it there? It only takes root after 3 days, 4 days, let's say. It starts doing something. It starts disintegrating and it starts taking root into the ground. So I've done the malacha on Shabbos, but really nothing happened on Shabbos. All I did was put something in the ground. Let's say I didn't even cover it over. It ends up covering itself. So I really did nothing. I just put a seed in the ground. That's already called the malacha of Zoraya. How can that be? Isn't that a chatzi malacha? What am I doing? I'm doing half of something. I'm not really creating anything new. I'm not changing any status of anything that was here before that making it different from what it is now. So by way of introduction to that discussion, which is an extremely important discussion when we talk about malacha on Shabbos, and we'll have to talk about different malachas, how they fit into that, let's first talk about the din generally of chatzi shir when it comes to machalas asuras. So we begin with the Gemara in Yuma daf ayin dalet amud aleph. The Gemara says as follows, Gufa, chatzi shir. When we talk about a chatzi shir, meaning what? All achila in the Torah is considered a kezayis. When it says that you have to eat when you have to do anything about eating or you're not allowed to eat something, it means a kezayis, that is the shir achila. Says the Gemara, chatzi shir. So when we talk about something that is less than a shir, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, what's the status? If I eat a half a piece of basar b'chalav that's less than a kezayis, Rabbi Yochanan says, asr min haTorah, that is asr midaraisa. Reish Lakish Amar mutar min haTorah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar asr min haTorah. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say that to eat a chatzi shir is asr min haTorah? Don't we know? Kol achilas b'kezayis. All achila in the Torah. When it says you have to eat something, it means you have to eat a kezayis. So why should we assume that a chatzi shir is asr min haTorah? Explains Rabbi Yochanan, a svara, kiven de chazi litzdarufe isurei ka'achil. Again, what does that mean? It means that since if I would eat an entire shir, if I would eat a complete kezayis, I would be in violation of an isur. So obviously, like my father always says, 0 + 0 = 0, right? So if a chatzi shir was not asr, then I can eat everything, I can eat 100 pieces of basar b'chalav, how do they add up to be a shir? So it must be chazi litzdarufe, since it can add up to become a full kezayis, therefore we assume that's going to be asr. We'll go into that in a little more detail. Just by parenthetically, one thing that you see from here is, the Gemara here is not learning from a pasuk. The Gemara soon will learn from a pasuk, but as of now, all we learn it is from a svara. Kiven de chazi litzdarufe. It makes sense that it should be asr. Why? Because if we know that a full kezayis is asr, then obviously a half a kezayis has to be asr also. Otherwise, how do you add up a half and a half to make a whole, and all of a sudden, magically, it becomes asr? So what you see is, what was that? The Gemara says in Sukkah, Shiurim Chatzitzin Umachitzin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Gemara says when we talk about any Shiurim for anything in the Torah, or the Halachas of Chatzitza, and the Gemara says the third example is Machitza, also that's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So Kazayis is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and the question is, what about a Chatzitzayis? So over here the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says it's Asr Min HaTorah, Kibin Dechazi Litzdarufe, it's a Svara. So what you see is, Rabbi Yosef Engel has a long piece on this where he suggests that what you see is, not from here only, but from many places, that a svara carries weight midaraisa. A svara yeshara, thinking logically, also can create a din daraisa, which is very surprising. How can you say over here, just because of a svara makes sense to us, therefore it should be a daraisa? If you learn from a pasuk, it makes sense. But just because the chachamim came up with a svara, that means it's a din daraisa? That's what you see from here. That's what's very interesting. Reish Lakish disagrees, and he says, no, mutter min haTorah. Min haTorah, a person is allowed to eat a chatzi shir. Achila amrachman avaleka. The Torah says, don't eat basar b'chalav. You went ahead and you ate a half a piece of basar b'chalav. Well, we know when the Torah says don't eat, it means don't eat a kezayis. You ate less than a kezayis, there's nothing wrong midaraisa. Ask the Gemara. Eis ve Rabbi Yochanan of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asked the following question to Reish Lakish. We have a braisa that says the following. Says the braisa, Ein li'ala kol she'yeshno ba'ona she'yeshno ba'azhara. We only know that something is usher if the Torah also tells us that you're going to get punished for it. However, let's say you have an example like koi, A koi is what? Koi is something which is a suffik behema, suffik chayu. You're not sure exactly what kind of animal this is, and therefore you're not sure if you're allowed to eat parts of the animal or not. There are parts of a chayu you're allowed to eat, parts of a behema that you are not allowed to eat. So we assume over here a koi is something that we're not sure about. Or says the Gemara, chatzi shir. What if I have a chatzi shir basa b'chalav? Hol ve'eno ba'amesh. Since the Torah never explicitly tells me if you eat a half a kezayis of basa b'chalav, you're going to get malchus, or you're going to have to bring a karbon. How do you know that it's usher at all? Talmud Lomar says the Gemara, kol chaylev. It means, not only are you not allowed to eat chaylev, you're not allowed to eat kol chaylev. You can't even eat a little bit of chaylev. So says the Gemara, you learn from the pasuk of kol chaylev, that it's usher not only to eat a kezayis of chaylev, but it's usher to eat even a chatzizayis of chaylev, from that extra word of kol. Ask the Gemara a question, if we learn from the pasuk kol chaylev, that even a chatzishir of chaylev is also going to be a prohibition of chazer, of basar v'chalav on an achila. So how does Rish Lakish say that a chatzishir is mutter midaraisa? How can that be? We have a pasuk explicitly that says that a chatzishir is usher. Explains the Gemara, you know what Rish Lakish is going to say, you're right. Midrabanan across machta ba'alma. The famous answer, famous last words that you're right. We have a pasuk, but the pasuk doesn't really mean to be taken literally. It's just an asmachta. Really, it's a din derabanan. It's a din derabanan. Reish Lakish agrees midrabanan. You're not allowed to eat a chatzishir, but he says from the pasuk of kol chaylev, you don't really see a din d'oraisa. That's what the Gemara says over here. Now, I saw a very fascinating discussion. Rav Meir Shapiro has in one of his svarim, just al derech ha'agada a little. He says the Medrash says that Chava took from the Eitz Hadas one kezayis of fruit from the Eitz Hadas, and she split it between her and Adam. So Rav Meir Shapiro points out that the Medrash Talpios, I don't even own a Medrash Talpios, if anyone has it, you could check it up. Rav Meir Shapiro, I trust him, he says the Medrash Talpios asked the following question. What was Adam Arishon told? What was Adam Arishon told? Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel. You should go ahead and eat from all of the trees in the Garden of Eden and Gan Eden. However, from that one, Lo Tochel. Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. So achila always means in the Torah what? A kezayis. And the Medrash over here tells us that what? She only took one kezayis of fruit and split it between her and Adam Arishon. So ask the Medrash Talpios, how can you tell me that Chava and Adam are going to be kicked out of Gan Eden because they ate? What do you mean? We ate a chatzishir. If Reish Lakish is correct, a chatzishir mitum in Torah, what did they do wrong? What did they do wrong? Chatzishir is permissible. That's not what God said you're not allowed to do? Okay, good. It's almost Hanukkah, so that's an important concept to talk about. It actually has a lot to do with Hanukkah, because the Mishneh Berurah writes a very striking statement. Rav Soloveitchik, just to digress for another moment, the Rav Soloveitchik took major issue with that Mishneh Berurah. The Mishneh Berurah says that a wife can be yotzei hadlakas neiros Hanukkah with her husband because ishto kegufa. Rav Soloveitchik said ishto kegufa doesn't mean we're like one body. Ishto kegufa means for certain halachas we assume, let's say for edus, the woman is like the man, and therefore I can't give testimony about my wife because we're considered, I'm the Baal Dover, it's me. So therefore I can't give testimony. It's like me testifying about myself. When it comes to doing a Maisa HaMitzvah, if I have to put on tefillin and my wife has to put on tefillin, it's not a good example. But if I have to bench and my wife has to bench, you can't say Ishto Kegufo just because I bench, it's as if she benched. It doesn't work. So Rav Soloveitchik said he had major issue with that Mishneh Berurah that says Ishto Kegufo when it comes to a Maisa HaMitzvah, what does it help Ishto Kegufo? In the end of the day, did your wife light Neiros Chanukah or not? So therefore, he suggested, nothing to do with feminism, he suggested that a woman has the mitzvah of Adlakas Neiros Chanukah the same way that a man does. That we know, Afin Hay Bosa Anes, and therefore, the woman has an obligation to actually light on her own. It doesn't help that her husband is lighting. She has the obligation the same way the husband, the same way all the other members of the house have the obligation as well. Why my mother doesn't light is an interesting question. Anyway, back over here. So the question that the Medrash asked, yeah? What? Neri Shabesa. Do your children light?
But it's not obligation.
Okay, but we all do Mahadrim and Amahadrim. So why do your sons light? If your sons are going to light, then your wife should light also. What's the difference? You're right. Neru Shabeso means only one person has to light. But if all of our children light, so then why should our wives be any different? Kids are only chinuch. So let's say I have a 30-year-old son living at home. Right? So I don't have to be mechanechim anymore. He knows what to do. Right? So you'll say, till the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, so I still have to make sure he knows what he's doing. Once he knows already what he's doing, so I have no mitzvah of chinuch, that's the only reason our children light? Hard to imagine. Anyway, back to over here, so the question that they ask on Reish Lakish is, if you're correct, that really, it was a good point, but if you're correct that Chava only took one kezayis from the tree and split it between her and Adam, so then why were they kicked out of Gan Eden? If Reish Lakish says chatzishir is mutter min haTorah? So the answer is, listen to this brilliant Sedra Meir Shapir, you know what the answer is? The Rambam writes that when it comes to Ben Noach, Sha'achal Evri Menachai, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is, you're not allowed to eat Evri Menachai, says the Rambam. What if a Ben Noach goes out and eats Evri Menachai? He's going to be Chayiv Misa, even if he eats a Kolshu. Even if he eats a little bit. Explain to the Rambam, why? Says the Rambam. This that we know that shiurim, a kazayis, a kibetz, a kidesviya, all these different shiurim that we have, that only applies to the Jews. When we talk about a ben noach, it doesn't apply at all. That was only given to us at Har Sinai. Therefore, explains our Meir Shapir, when it comes to the story of Adam Arishan and Chava, the shiurim weren't around yet. When God comes along and he tells you, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas, it means don't take anything from the Eitz Hadas, even if it's going to be a chatzi shiur, even Reish Lakish would agree to that. Very interesting. Whether it's correct or incorrect, it's interesting nonetheless. There is a very important discussion that revolves around the Shita of Reish Lakish when we talk about a chatzi shiur being mutter min haTorah, and that is with regard to the tour. The tour writes in Hilchos Yom Kippur in Tafresh Chav Dalid, he said there were those who had the chassidim anshei maisa, there were big machmirim who had the practice, that they used to fast 2 days straight by Yom Kippur. Why? Well, we all have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galias on all the rest of the Yom Tovim, so how come Yom Kippur, it's a safek iser kares? Yom Kippur, we're going to take lightly Yom Kippur, if you eat on Yom Kippur and it's the wrong day, right? If you're fasting Yom Kippur, then the next day happens to be the real Yom Kippur, because you made a miscalculation of the day. So then you're going to be violating an Isser Kares. How can you take such a risk? If we're even going to make a second day of Yom Tov for Simchas Torah and for Sukkot and for everything else, so why don't we make it 2 days of Yom Kippur? So the Ramah says, yes, there were those who were machmer, but it's a bad idea. Ask the Magen Avraham, why is it such a bad idea? Doesn't it make a lot of sense? A Safek Isser Kares? Says the Magen Avraham very simply, it's a sakana, we can't fast, we can barely make it through 1 day, how are we going to make it through 2 days? Therefore, says the Magen Avraham, our minig has developed that we don't follow this minig of the chassidim anshei maisa, we don't fast 2 days. The Yerushalmi actually talks about it in Yuma, and the Yerushalmi says, you know what the reason why we don't fast 2 days is? Says the Yerushalmi because, I'm sorry, no. The Yerushalmi says the reason why we don't fast 2 days is because it's a sakana. So ask some achronim, what do you mean sakana? If you hold like Rish Lakish that, Chatzishir mutter min haTorah, so just do it like this. Every half an hour, you'll take something to eat, you keep taking a chatzishir, you'll be able to last for 2 days straight, it's no problem. So why don't we do that? Anyway, all these questions are very nice questions, but the bottom line is, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin clearly like Rabbi Yochanan, that we hold chatzishir is asur min haTorah. We don't hold like Reish Lakish, so Rabbi Meir Shapiro's question is not really bothering us, the halacha. And this question about Yom Kippur doesn't really bother us, the halacha, because we don't hold like Reish Lakish. We hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that Chatzi Shir is Aser Min HaTorah. The Mishlo Melech quotes a question from the Ralbach, where he writes a very famous question that's discussed in many Achronim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametzu Matzah, when it comes to Pesach, that if you want to look up the Rambam, it's in Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin of Hilchos Chametzu Matzah, says the Rambam as follows. One is not allowed to eat a chatzi shir of chametz on Pesach, because the pasuk says, lo ye'achel kol chametz. You are not allowed to consume any chametz on Pesach. Ask all of the achronim, why does the Rambam have to come up with a new pasuk and teach me that you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir of chametz on Pesach? Don't we know that chatzi shir is asur min haTorah anyway? Forget about the pasuk of lo ye'achel chametz. We know you're not allowed to eat chametz anyway. You're not allowed to eat chametz, and therefore you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir of chametz, because the same way you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir of basar b'chalav, or a chatzi shir of chalev, or of anything else, so you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir of chametz. So why do we need a special pasuk over here to tell me that you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir of chametz? That's the question that many achronim ask. Explains the Mishnah Melech. Perhaps the answer goes like this. He suggests that what is our Gemara here that we started with, the Gemara Numa Ayin Dalet? Where do we end up learning it from? It's a question in itself. Well, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's a svara, because chazi litzdarufe. Since you can add up a chatzi shir plus another chatzi shir and end up with a complete shir, therefore we assume that chatzi shir asur min haTorah. Then the Gemara goes on to say, no, we learn it from the pasuk of kol chalev, right? Kol chalev means you have an extra word of kol, which means even a little bit of chalev you're not allowed to eat either. So he says, perhaps, we only know that chatzi shir is usur by something which is going to be usur forever, like chalev, like basar b'chalav. There's no way of getting around the problem of basar b'chalav. Once you cook the basar b'chalav, it's usur, and there's no way to make it mutter anymore. So, therefore, he suggests chametz, which after Pesach is going to be mutter again. So maybe the isur of chatzi shir doesn't apply, because the isur of chametz is not as severe as the isur of chalev, which is going to be everlasting isur. That's the suggestion that the Ralbach writes, as quoted in the Mishnah Lamelech. Along the same lines, there are some who ask, why is it that the Gemara over here, fundamentally in Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara gives two reasons why Rabbi Yochanan says Chatzi Shiras Min HaTorah? If you look carefully, the Gemara says, like we just stated, number one, because of a Svara of Chazi Litztarufe, because you can add them up together and now get to a complete Shir. Reason number two, says the Gemara, is because we have a Pasuk of Kol Chelev. Why do you need two Pesukim? Why do you need a Pasuk and a Svara? What's that for? So some explain the reason why is because if he only had one, I wouldn't have known that we can apply it to other Isurim. Because if I only had the Pasuk by Chelev, that would have told me that what? Only Chelev, which perhaps is something that's going to be Aser forever. So that's very serious. We mean even a Chatzi Shir of that will be Aser. But now that we have two reasons to Aser it. Number one, Kol Chelev. Number two, Chazi Litztarufe. Now we know all Isurim are going to be Aser Chatzi Shir, whether it's an Isur of Chametz, which is only a temporary Isur, whether it's an Isur of Chazer, which is an Isur that's going to be forever. Everything we assume is going to be Chatzi Shir Aser Min HaTorah. If you assume like that, so we're back to our question on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam need, again, why does the Rambam need a special pasuk of Lo Ye'ochel Chametz when we come to the Isra of eating a Chatzi Shir of Chametz on Pesach? Why does the Rambam have to come with a new pasuk? We know that it's Aser already. Chatzi Shir and Kol HaTorah Kula is not going to be allowed. Everyone following so far? So why is it that the Rambam has to have a pasuk of Chatzi Shir Aser Min HaTorah specifically by the din of Chametz if we know that this is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula by all Machalas Asuras? So in order to answer this question, let's just talk about a fundamental yisod that has to be discussed when we discuss the issue of Chatzi Shir. Asher Weiss once told me the following. When we have the svar of Chazi Litztarufe, Rabbi Yochanan says, Chatzi Shir is awesome in HaTorah. Why? Because you can add it up to become a complete Shir. How do you understand that svar? What exactly does the svar mean? So there's two ways of looking at it. You can look at it the way I first said it, and that is, well, if 0 plus 0 equals 0, then how do you ever get to a complete Shir? How can you say that magically, if you eat a kazayis, yechayiv misa? How can you say such a thing? If I eat a chatzi zayis, and a chatzi zayis, there was nothing wrong with it, how can nothing wrong plus nothing wrong equal something wrong? That doesn't make any sense. That's the first way of understanding it. That it just can't be. And we learn from the fact that the Torah says that a kazayis is going to be usr, then obviously it must be that a chatzi zayis is also usr, because otherwise there's no way to ever get to the isr itself. Okay, that's way number one of understanding, because otherwise 0 plus 0 equals 0.
That's assuming there's no time required.
What do you mean?
Under, if you have to eat a kazayis within a half hour, and that's a shir. I suppose if you eat a chatzi kazayis, and then another, you know, 2 days later, another chatzi kazayis, obviously they're not.
Right, but the question is, how could it ever be? How could it ever be that if I eat two chatzi kazayis right now within a half an hour, how can I be in violation of an iser?
Well, wouldn't you say that the time requirement is intrinsic within the shear, and you have to eat a certain amount within a certain time period.
That is true.
And therefore, you know, the 0 plus 0 doesn't apply.
Why?
Because if I'm eating, you know, 1 minute half a shear, and then the next minute another half a shear, then within the time limit, then that's a full shear.
But how can it be? How can it be?
Within a certain time.
If I eat a kosher piece of meat, and then I eat another kosher piece of meat, is it possible that I violated an Isser? Can't be. Both were kosher. There's nothing wrong with it. Both were shechted. Both were salted. Everything's kosher. So how can you ever come up with a situation where I eat something which is mutter, I eat another thing which is mutter, and all of a sudden I violated an Isser? How's it possible?
In that scenario, it's not a
Chatzi Shir. In the scenario that's being presented?
It's not a Chatzi
Shir. Meaning that's a complete Shir.
Yeah, correct.
That's like eating the kazayas at one shot, you're saying. Okay, I'm not fully understanding your question. Did I answer it at all? I don't know.
Well, because do you have to eat it within one bite, the kazayis?
You have to eat it within a shear, within a certain amount of time, right?
So therefore, the 0 plus 0, as long as you eat that amount within the time period, that would be your biyasa. That's what
correct. You're correct. But my point is that if each particle by itself, there's nothing wrong with it, so then how can
the
all...
totality of it...
How can the totality be Aser if every particle is Mutter? How did it become an Iser? You didn't do anything to it. It didn't change.
Because it's cumulative. What he's saying is cumulative within a certain time frame.
Right.
It doesn't become cumulative.
You eat two bites within 30 seconds of each other.
If you're sick and you need to have fluids on
right.
your surface, you have a little bit every, 4 seconds,
right.
whatever the shear is, and it's not considered cumulative.
Okay.
That's the word. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Can someone explain this to me better? I'm not.
The first half of the diet they're eating is not necessarily not
You're saying it is usher?
It might be, depending on when you eat that second transfer.
But how can it change what I already did?
Last year, we talked about last year, that there's a, I don't remember which malacha was a child, but that you could end up doing something later that will make that first mite that you do in Israel, even though when you did it, it wasn't.
Okay.
So it's kind of like that. Like, if you eat that second kezai too late, then that first kezai that you ate is nothing. But if you ate it soon enough,
right, but here we're trying to figure out, is this called machalas asuras or is it not? So you're trying to figure out, you have a piece of basar b'chalav in front of you. Is this piece of basar b'chalav mutter or asur? What's the answer? It depends. If you slice it in half, it's mutter. If you don't, it's mutter. It's asur. How can that be? I have this piece of basar b'chalav in front of me. Is it mutter or not? Answer is, well, if you eat the whole thing, it's going to be asur. So if you eat half of it, that's also, you're taking a bite out of something that's asur. That's way number one of understanding it. Way number two of understanding chazilitz darufe. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean? Chatzi shir asam in Atar because of chazilitz darufe. Says Rabbi Yochanan, perhaps the reason is like this. Not because 0 + 0 = 0. That's not why. Rather, it's because the Torah is so nervous that you're going to come and eat the second half of the piece. So the Torah said, you know what? The first half is going to be asur also. Because the Torah is so concerned, it's like Xerub Midrabanan, but only on a Daraisa level. And we find this in other cases that you have what we call a Syogda Araisa. Yichud might be an example where the Torah says, don't have Yichud because we're concerned, maybe it's going to come to something else. We have other examples like that also. So again, two ways of understanding. Way of understanding number one is, Chazilitz Darufe. What does it mean? Why does Rabbi Yochanan say, even a Chatzishir is Asim Natar? Number one, because otherwise, it just doesn't make sense. How can you say 0 + 0 = an Isser? It doesn't make sense. How do you get there? Must be every particle is going to be Asser as well. Way number two that we explain it is, perhaps it's like a Hachaka Midaraisa. The Torah says, we don't want you to eat a full Kezayis. In order to make sure you don't eat the full Kezayis, we're going to tell you, you can't even eat the half of Kezayis because we're afraid you're going to come to eat the whole thing. Yes, Yog Daraisa. The Torah itself said, stay away from this. Now, what would be a difference? So you say, all nice lamdas, what's the nafkamina la'alacha? Says the tzlach as follows. We began before with the Rambam's kasha. The Rambam says, lo yachal chametz, we learn a new halacha that you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir of chametz on Pesach. Ask the tzlach and ask many achronim, like we said before, the Mishnah Melech quotes it. Why does he have to invent a new pasuk, lo yachal chametz? We know chatzi shir is going to be awesome in HaTorah by all Isurim, by Machalas Asurus, by Chazer, by everything, by Chelev. So why all of a sudden do we have to invent a new halacha when it comes to chametz b'Pesach that you're not allowed to eat lo yachal chametz, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach? Explains that tzlach, you know why? Because I'll tell you why. When it comes to the Isur of chatzi shir ben HaTorah, is asur. Let's say it's the last moment of Pesach, and I just have such a burning desire to eat a piece of pizza, I go and I take a bite of a chatzi shir of pizza a second before the end of Yontif. So there's no opportunity for me to finish off the shir. Because now, by the second I'm finished that, Yontif is already over. I'm allowed to eat chametz. So the tzlach, let me just finish, then we'll get to your question. So the tzlach writes, what would be the halach in a case like that? Says the tzlach, Rabbi Yochanan would say, in such a case, chatzi shir would be permissible. And therefore the Rambam has to come along and invent a new pasuk of Lo Yachal Chametz to teach me that by Chametz B'Pesach we're going to be Machmir even to do that. Even though there's no potential of finishing off the Yisr and eating the whole thing. That's the Chiddush of the Tzlach. That's the way that Tzlach explains why the Rambam comes up with a new pasuk by Chametz, Lo Yachal Chametz. You know why he says that? He says it because by Chametz the din is different than everywhere else. Whereas by everywhere else, if I had no opportunity to finish off the entire Isser, I would not be in violation of Chatzi Shir. Like Rabbi Kivega writes, for example, in a tshuva. Says Rabbi Kivega, let's say I take a shvua upon myself that I'm not going to eat a kikar lechem. I take a shvua, I'm not going to eat this piece of bread. And now, half of the piece of bread gets burnt. Or half of the piece of bread falls into the garbage. So there's no way for me to eat it. All I'm left with is a Chatzi Shir, the piece of bread that's usher to me. Can I go ahead and eat it or not? What would you say? Well, if the whole svara is chazilitz darufe, the reason you can't eat the chatzishir is because maybe you'll come to eat the rest. Well, there's no way I could come to eat the rest. It's burnt. It's not here anymore. It's in the ocean. It's gone. So maybe it should be permissible. Just like the case of chametz. That's what Rabbi Kivega talks about. Says that tzlach, this is the way he explains why the Rambam has to come with a new pasuk by chametz, that by chametz, even that's going to be usher. Even that's going to be usher because chametz is extra, super special, more so than anything else. Chametz is going to be usher. Well, what's the underpinning of the assumption of the tzlach? What is the tzlach saying? Again, how do we understand chazilitz darufe? How do we understand the svara that Rav Yochanan tells us of why you're not allowed to eat a chatzi shir? Is it because 0 plus 0 equals 0, so therefore it must be chatzi shir is asur also, otherwise you can never get to a full shir? Or is it in the other direction? Is it because the Torah doesn't want you to get to the actual isur, and therefore we're going to say, don't even eat a little bit of the isur because we're concerned maybe you'll come to do something even more serious, you're going to come to eat the whole thing? How's it slach understanding? How's it slach understanding this?
Second.
Like the second way, that what?
It's a
siyag d'araisa. The whole reason why chatzi shir is also is because we're concerned we don't want you to eat the whole shir. And therefore, since we're concerned we don't want you to eat the whole thing, we're going to say, don't even eat half of it. Don't even eat a part of it because you might come later on to do something worse and eat the whole thing. Well, if that's the way you understand, says Itzlach, if you eat a piece of chametz the second before Pesach is over, there shouldn't be a problem. If not for the fact that we have a new pasuk. And if you eat a half a piece of bread when the other half was burnt or fell into the ocean and it's not applicable anymore, that should be permissible. The answer, says that Tzlach, is because he understands Chazi Litztarufe in one of those two ways. Again, it's interesting to note that the Tzlach himself in the Chidushim, the Tzlach happens to be the Nodeb Yehuda, the Tzlach is his Chidushim Amsachim, the Nodeb Yehuda writes in a tshuva the same story, and he comes to the opposite conclusion. He thinks that the opposite would be true. If you ate a half a piece of bread and the other half gets burned, you would not be allowed to do that. So you see that Tzlach himself is toying with these two understandings. I think that's the way Rav Asher Weiss once told it to me. That's what the Tzlach is unsure about. How exactly do you understand what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said Chazi Litztarufe? What does it mean? So therefore what? Since you can add it up to a whole shir, therefore what? Therefore we say that the Torah itself asered even a chatzi shir because it doesn't want you to come to eat the full shir. Or is it that the Torah said that if 0 plus 0 equals 0, it must be that even a chatzi shir is going to be asur, and in that probably hinges this issue about whether or not the moment before Pesach is over, are you allowed to eat a piece of chametz, or when half of the piece of bread has burnt already, are you allowed to eat the other half? Is that clear? Anyone have questions? You still? 1 second. You had a question? Good? Yeah.
Is it possible that the difference of having a pasuk or not would resolve the Ein Ohn Shem Din issue?
That what?
Because this is a svara, so how would you impose an onesh based on a svara unless you had a pasuk?
We have a pasuk here of Kol Chelev. One second, you're just making me think of something else. Sometimes the Gemara has, let me just back up for a minute, without Kol Chelev. Sometimes the Gemara has a halacha where it will say, you're trying to figure out where do we learn out a halacha. So the Gemara says, it's a svara. Ask the Gemara, im svarahi lama likra. If it's a svara, why do we need a pasuk to learn it out? Right? The Gemara sometimes asks that question. So what kind of question is that? What do you mean? If I don't have a pasuk, ein on shemina din. Right? Din means a kal v'chomer. You're not allowed to punish someone through a kal v'chomer. But it doesn't mean you're not allowed to punish someone from a svara d'araisa or a lachal moshe misinai. I think. I might be wrong, but I think that's the answer. So there is a very nominal discussion when we talk about chatzi shir. Some people mistakenly understand it to mean that chatzi shir means literally a half a kezias. It's not really true. Rashi writes on the sugya, the Achronim point out, Rashi writes on the sugya of chatzi shir asa min haTorah, Rashi says, kalomar pachus mikashir. What is Rashi coming to say? I understood what chatzi shir means. What does Rashi have to add? Answer is, Rashi is coming to tell you, even a minuscule shir, even a little bit, doesn't mean you cut an olive in half, and only if you eat that size is going to be usher. No, it means even a kol shu. Now we get to a very, very fascinating discussion. Yeah? Meaning the example of the shvua? Yeah? Okay. Right. Anyone have thoughts? No, he's saying it's not exactly the same. Because over there, what? I don't know. It's a good question. Right, I'm not sure. I like the question. I don't know. Okay, so now let's get to the final issue of tonight, and that is when we talk about the Yisr of Chatzi Shir. we paskin again, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, chatzis shir, asur minat Torah. It's off limits. You're not allowed to eat a chatzis shir. And we assume that chatzis shir doesn't only mean a half a kezias, it means even a little piece of a shir, it's also going to be asur minat Torah. So now, the Achronim discuss a very important and fundamental issue, and that is, when we talk about chatzis shir, asur minat Torah, is that a isur klali, or is that an isur prati? What exactly do we mean when we say, is it an isur klali, or is it an isur prati? Meaning as follows. When somebody now goes ahead and eats a chatzis shir of basar b'chalav, are you now in violation of the isser of basar b'chalav? Or are you in violation of the isser, this new isser that we created called, you're not allowed to eat a chatzis shir? Okay, that's the question. When I eat a chatzis shir of basar b'chalav, am I now in violation of eating basar b'chalav? That's included in the isser of basar b'chalav is, you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav, a full shear or a half a shear. Only difference is, you're only going to get malchus if you eat a full shear, but if you eat a chatzis shear, you're also going to be violating an isser. That's part of basar b'chalav. Or do we create this new isser called chatzis shear asa min ha-Torah? And when I eat a chatzis shear of basar b'chalav, I'm in violation of that new isser. When I eat a complete shear of basar b'chalav, I'm in violation of the isser of not eating basar b'chalav. What difference does it make? You'll understand in a second. Let's look as follows. We have a Gemara in Yuma that says like this. The Gemara is in Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. I forgot to put it on here. I forgot to write it in my notes as well. The Gemara says like this. What do you do when you have a chola on Yom Kippur? And the chola has to eat. So what are you supposed to do? Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, Mishach So Bulmas. Somebody who has some sort of major issue and they have to eat on Yom Kippur. Machilin Oso Hakal Hakal. The Gemara's rule is you always have to try and do the least violation of Yisurim as possible. So you have to feed them the lesser degree of Isser that you can. I'm sorry, the Gemara here is not talking about Yom Kippur. It's talking about a regular time. You have a chole, and the only food that's around is something which is Usser. So what do you give them? So obviously we assume Pikuach Nefesh is Docha everything, so you're allowed to give them Trefa food. But the Gemara says you should try and minimize the violation of Isser as much as possible. So now the Gemara goes through all the different violations, and we try to figure out what's more severe and what's less severe. Says the Gemara, if I have a toss-up between Tevel and Nevela, so you give him Nevela. If I have a toss-up between Tevel and Shvius, you give him Shvius. Tevel and Truma, this and that, whatever. The Gemara goes through all the calculations to figure out what's considered a more Chamer Aver, what's considered a less Chamer Aver, and that's where you're supposed to give the Chola if he needs to eat something. Ask the Ramban as follows. Let's read through the Ramban together. It's a very Gishmak Ramban. Says the Ramban, Garcinum Bekrisis Perak Amrulo. If you have a pregnant woman who needs to eat on Yom Kippur, obviously we're allowed to feed her on Yom Kippur because it's a sakana. Bakshinan, the Gemara asks, if it's because of a sakana, you can feed her whatever she needs. It's pikuach nefashos. You're not allowed to make the woman fast on Yom Kippur if she's going to lose her life. Amra papa hachi katani. What we mean to say is, hitiru la leubra lechol pachos pachos mikashir vaafilu tuva mipnei sakana. Meaning, Kolomer, says the Ramban, Shafilu tzricha l'kashir. If the doctor comes and he says this woman must eat a shir on Yom Kippur, machilin oso pachas pachas. We'll give it to her in small dosages, if she can handle it. Obviously, if we need to give her something right away, immediately we'll give it right away. But if she can handle it and we can only give her a chatzis shir at a time, that's what we should do. Kedei shelo yitzdarif kezayis bechdei achilas pras. So you should do in the intervals of 9 minutes, and you figure out how to give her a little bit at a time, and she won't be in violation of Yom Kippur. Vinira, says the Ramban, Sha'af b'chole osin kein. When you have somebody who's sick on Yom Kippur, you do the same thing. When the person, we evaluate that the person has to go ahead and eat on Yom Kippur, so we all know this is what we do. But the Ramban is trying to figure out the halacha. The Ramban says, if you have someone who's a chole on Yom Kippur, you have to feed them a little bit at a time, take 9-minute intervals, and that's how you're going to do your Yom Kippur. Kedei lahakil alav me'isuri kare sumakos le'isur b'lechut. Ask the Ramban as follows. If this is the case that we give the person only a chatzis shir at a time on Yom Kippur, ask the Ramban, why does the Gemara go into a whole discussion? What's more chamer on Yom Kippur? To give a person this or to give a person that? To give a person nevela or to give them tevel? Ask the Ramban, what's the difference? You're not eating a whole shir anyway. You're not eating a whole shir anyway. Every 9 minutes you're going to take a little piece of food. And anyway, the food is usser. Either it's tevel, or it's shviz, or it's truma, or it's meiser. It's something you're not allowed to eat. So whatever it is, you're eating something that's usser. So ask the Ramban, why do we care whether it's a more serious haver or less serious haver? You're eating pachas mikashir. You're eating just a little bit? Ask the Ramban, v'im tishal, if you'll ask me, im kain, if it's true that when a person is sick on Yom Kippur, you only give them pachas mikashir, you keep giving them a little bit in intervals of 9 minutes, lama amru, Machilin also hakal hakal. Why does the Gemara say in Yuma that you give the person to eat very small dosages at a time, and you give it to them with the least degree of chumrah, with the least degree of iser possible? Why? What's the iser in front of you? The iser is to eat on Yom Kippur. So, how do we get around eating on Yom Kippur? We tell you, only eat a chatzi shir, that's not called a violation of Yom Kippur. Why? Because it says, you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, achil is always b'kazayis. Okay? So you'll eat less than a shir, correct? You'll eat less than a shir. So what are you in violation now by eating less than a shir? In violation of the iser of chatzi shir. Right? And you're in violation of the iser of eating tebel, of eating shuma, whatever. But you're in violation of the iser of chatzi shir. Ask the Ramban, what do I care whether it's more chamer, less chamer? You're violating the iser of chatzi shir regardless. So who cares? Give him whatever you want. Answers the Ramban, two answers. And from these two answers you see, the Ramban again is toying with this question. When a person violates the iser of chatzi shir, are you in violation of the iser of basar b'chalav? If I eat a chatzi shir basar b'chalav, did I violate the iser of basar b'chalav? Or did I violate the iser of chatzi shir, this new created iser that we made up from the pasuk of Kol Chelev, from the svar of Chazi Litzlarufe? Says the Ramban, two answers. Number one, Afilu Achi, says the Ramban, Kiven de b'shiurin chamurin zemizela onshim, since we know that if you ate a complete shir, this one would be more chamer than the other, right? If I ate shuma, it would be more chamer than something else. Therefore, says the Ramban, Af pepachos mikashir, chumer shalzeh, yoser mi chumer shalzeh. What do you see? What's the Ramban saying? That when I violate the Isser of Chatzi Shir, it's an Isser Prati. I'm violating the Isser of Basar B'Chalav. And therefore, says the Ramban, since we assume that when I eat a Chatzi Shir of Basar B'Chalav, I'm in violation of the Isser itself, it's very important to know, even when you're giving a Chola to eat on Yom Kippur, it's very important to know what's more severe, what's less severe. We try to make the person violate as few Isserim as possible. That's answer number one of the Ramban. Answer number two, says the Ramban, Inami, when the Gemara gives me this whole list of what's considered more chamer, what's considered more kal, Hasam, there the Gemara is saying, Bishamdu lekashir, v'utzarech labiktei tziruf. Over there the Gemara is talking about a different case. We're talking about a person who the doctor comes and he says, this person must eat a whole shir of basar b'chalav right now or else he's going to die. You don't have a chance to wait 9 minutes in between. You don't have intervals. You have to give him everything right now. So the Gemara is saying, well, if I have to give him a whole shir now, we have to figure out, what should I give him? Should I give him this? Should I give him that? So the Acharonim say, what's the suffix in the Ramban? Why does he give two answers here? The Ramban is not sure. How do we understand this violation of Chatzi Shir? What does it mean? Am I in violation of the Isser of Basar B'Chalav? And therefore, says the Ramban, it's important to know, even when you're eating a Chatzi Shir under the circumstances, you have to know, is this considered a violation of Basar B'Chalav, or is it considered just a violation of Chatzi Shir? It's very important to know how serious an Aveira I'm committing. Or, says the Ramban, perhaps no. When I'm in violation of the din chatzi shir, I'm only in violation of an iser klali, of this new idea of chatzi shir asa min haTorah. It has nothing to do with basar b'chalav. You only violate basar b'chalav when you eat a complete shir, when you eat a complete kezayis. And this exactly is the suffix that the Ramban has. That's exactly what's playing out here in the Ramban and the two answers that he suggests. Yeah.
Obviously, it's not, and it's still awesome. And the question is, you're asking, what is the issa? But the issa could be the original issa, except there's no onesh, and or it's allowed in that situation. It's allowed in that situation.
So why is the Gemara saying hakala katchila? If you're saying it's hutra hutra, everything's mutter legamri.
No, we don't hold hutra. I'm not saying it's obvious. We don't call it hutra hutra. We don't say it's hutra. It's really awesome.
But it's also allowed, okay. Okay, right. So it's dechuya.
It's dechuya.
Right.
Okay. So since it's dechuya, there's still an issa. Whatever you want to call that issa.
The Isser of eating on Yom Kippur is not with a Pachas Mikashir. Right?
Maybe you're not eating on Yom Kippur. I mean, it's only an Onesh if it's a full Shir.
Uh-huh. Okay, let me think about that. You're saying maybe it's the chuya, and that's where the Gemara goes into this discussion. Could be. Let's just say, before we close the shir, let me think about that. Just before we close, let's talk about one fascinating nafkamina. The Acharonim give a lot of nafkaminas about whether this is called, whether chatzi shir is an iser klali, iser prati, but one goes like this. The Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Maharik that somebody who is somebody who eats on a tainus, for whatever reason, you had good reason to eat, you should not get an aliyah when they lay in from the Torah on the tainus. Why? Because you're not really part of the tzibur that's fasting. Everyone else is fasting, so you're not really chayiv. The reason we lay in by mincha on a tainus is because it's a tainus, with en vayichal, and you're not really part of the tainus, you're not fasting, therefore says the Beis Yosef Hashem the Maharik, you should not really take the aliyah. So Rabbi Kiveger has a suffix as follows. Rabbi Kiveger said he was in somebody's house and the person was a chola and they made a minyan in the person's house on Yom Kippur. You'll read it on your own, we don't have enough time. So Rabbi Kiveger says that it came time to lain and they wanted to be mechazik the chola, they wanted him that he should feel better. So they called him up for shlishi on Yom Kippur in his house, in the minyan in his house. Rabbi Kiveger says, it was obvious to me that he was allowed to get shlishi on Yom Kippur. Why? Because the Kriya Satorah that you do on the morning of Yom Kippur has nothing to do with the day being a fast day. It's because today is like Shabbos. The same way on Shabbos morning you lain, so to Yom Kippur morning you also lain. That's what Rabbi Kiveger said. He's allowed to get an aliyah. Says Rabbi Kiveger, out of Suffolk, are you allowed to call him up for an aliyah by mincha? That was a Suffolk Rabbi Kiveger had. What's the pshat when we lain Kriya Satorah by mincha? Is the Kriya Satorah by mincha because it's like Shabbos mincha? So we lain by mincha also. Or is the Kriya Satorah by mincha on Yom Kippur the same as a Kriya Satorah by mincha on a regular tainus? That's what Rabbi Kiveger said, Sarachi and Ladina. He wasn't sure what's the reason why we lain by mincha on Yom Kippur. And based on that, Rabbi Kiveger isn't sure, should a person who's not fasting on Yom Kippur get an aliyah by mincha on Yom Kippur afternoon? Okay? That's the shah that Rabbi Kiveger had. So, other achronim say this is really rooted in the machlokas, the Mechab and the Ramah. The Mechab and the Ramah have a disagreement. What do you do by mincha on Yom Kippur? How do you end off the aliyah with haftorah? What do you say? Ala torah v'ala voda v'ala everything, mikadosh Yisrael v'hazmanim? Or do you just end off the bracha and say, whatever, before that bracha? So basically the Mechab and the Ramah are arguing, how do you understand the mincha on Yom Kippur? Are we laning because it's a tainus, or are you laning because today is a kedushas hayom, it's like Shabbos? That will depend on whether or not you say ala torah v'ala voda. Okay, very nice. Interesting machlokas. So now the question is as follows. If you're correct that really this is the question by eating on Yom Kippur, whether or not you're allowed to take an aliyah, what's the halacha if a person eats a chatzi shir on a tainus tzibur? Forget about Yom Kippur. What's the din if a person eats a chatzi shir on Tisha B'Av? And Tisha B'Av, we know the reason you're laning on Tisha B'Av is only because Tisha B'Av is a tainus. A person eats a chatzi shir, are you allowed to go ahead and get an aliyah by the Kriya Satara on Tisha B'Av? So listen. If we assume that chatzi shir is a separate iser, so then, what do you mean? If you have someone who's a baal lashon hara, you let to give him an aliyah on Tisha B'Av? Yeah. If someone is mechallel Shabbos, you let to give him an aliyah on Tisha B'Av. It's nothing to do. He didn't violate Tisha B'Av. But if you say that chatzi shir is an iser proti, so then over here, what's the iser on Tisha B'Av? Iser on Tisha B'Av is you're not allowed to eat. And over here, you violated in some way the Isra of today, that you're not allowed to eat today. You went ahead and you ate. So now you're in violation of the Isra. You can't get an aliyah because it's as if you broke the fast. If you say it's an Isra klali, if you just say it's a general Isra of Chatzi Shir Asam and Torah, so then what does that have to do with anything? Today's a fast day. I only broke my fast based on the real principles of a fast. I only break the fast of Eidah Kazayas. I happen to have violated a separate halacha. I'm allowed to take the aliyah. So this really ties into the Beis Yosef, to the Rabbi Kiveger. How would you understand a person who eats a chatzi shir on a tainus, is he allowed to get an aliyah? There are many other nafkaminas, a lot more to talk about by chatzi shir. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll explain how it ties into Hilchos Shabbos as well, and go a little forward from that.